This morning, if you can see on the screen, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be going through a sermon series for the month of January, and starting off the year talking about hearing God. And not just, and the idea isn't just hearing from God, but hearing God. There's a big difference, I believe, that from hearing from God, getting a special message from God, and just hearing the voice of God. And we're going to talk about what that sounds like and what it feels like and what it looks like to be people who hear the voice of God. And in John chapter 10, 1 through 5, as Hyatt read already this morning, it says that Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And that's not something that just started then and ended when he left this physical world, but it's something that it's a reality of discipleship that Jesus was trying to get across, that his sheep, his children, hear him. One of the things that I have thought for a long time, and it's an interesting thing to preach and to get up every week and to say things on behalf of God and to speak about Scripture and then to go back and listen. I've been preaching for, you know, since 2001, full time, a couple of years after that. And it's very interesting to go back and to listen to sermons that I preached, you know, 10 years or, you know, 12 years ago and think, did I really say that? Is that how I explain that? And one of the things that I've thought for a long time, and I still agree to a certain extent, but I'm amending it slowly, is that one of my jobs as a preacher is to try and listen to God all week long and then tell you what he said on Sunday. And what I've been convicted of is that it's not necessarily just my job to hear from God and to tell you what he said, but I believe more and more my role is to help equip you to hear the voice of God. It's not my job to hear God for you. It is to equip the church to hear the voice of God. You know, in Ephesians it says that there are those who are given to certain roles and duties and things in the church, and there's apostles and pastors and teachers, and the goal is to equip the saints for every good work. And the goal is to equip each Christian to hear the voice of God so that each Christian can adequately serve the living God. And so these next sermons are going to be equipping sermons. They're going to be equipping us to hear the voice of God. The first thing that we need to think about when we think about hearing the voice of God is that we are image bearers of the true and living God. God created us in a specific way. He created us to have specific experiences, and he created us to experience him. And central to God's uniqueness is God's spokenness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about Paul railing on people who worship other than God. And if you've got your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant." It says there's a dynamic relationship that's going to be going on between you and this God that you serve. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those things. "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols." One of the main things that Paul talks about is the lack of deity is found in the lack of spokenness. See, God, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, is a revealing God. He goes on to say, "No one can say Jesus is Lord lest that was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit." Now, one of the realities of this image bearerness that we have, one of the the things about God's spokenness is that no other religion, no other world religion, no other group of people who profess to know or know about a deity ever boasts examples of their God speaking. Unique to God's nature is His spokenness. Now, we know a lot about God's holiness, God's faithfulness, God's mercy. I mean, that's something that we preach about and we talk about and we sing about. But do we focus on God's spokenness, the fact that He is a revealing God? The fact that God made us to communicate, made us to hear. You look back in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, in that the relationship was with His children to walk with them and to talk with them. We've sang that for years, but do we believe that? Do we believe that we were made in the image of God to hear Him? Do we believe that we were made to communicate with God? Not just talk, but to communicate. In Isaiah 30, talks about the prophets, the same as Paul railing. He says, "Look, you take you take this lump of stone, you take this lump of wood, and you carve it, and then you bow down and you worship it. Did that lump of anything? Did it ever speak to you? If you've got your Bibles, look over and." Isaiah chapter 30. This is where a post-it note would have come in real handy, Shane. And you could just flip to it super easy. I don't want to pass it. In a highlighter. Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll. I'm starting in verse 8. For that day has come, there'll be everlasting witness, these rebellious people, deceitful children. They say to the seer, "See no more visions," and to the prophets, "Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way. Get off this path. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." We were made to have this communicating. And when people are trying to stray from God, are trying to go away from Him, communication with God, getting a word from the Lord, is the one thing that they want to stop. And the fact of the matter is that as we enter into and go through this experience with God, this relationship with Him, we don't figure God out. God reveals Himself. God tells us of who He is. The problem is that for so many years in the church, we've believed that we're engaged in a monologue, that we are the only ones doing the talking, that we're the only ones that are speaking anything. Some even go so far as to believe that when the Bible, when this book was canonized, that God went mute. The only problem is that that's not biblical. And more importantly, it's not personal. A God who does not speak is not a personal God. I can't equip you to have a personal relationship with a mute God. The Bible doesn't support that. And some believe that, well, since I've never heard from God, then God doesn't speak. Why let your experience define God instead of letting the God of Scripture, the God of creation, define your experience? Now, the fact is that this is a dangerous theology. And you might ask yourself, so Shane, what you're trying to tell me is that God speaks to you, that you hear God? And the answer is yes, I do. You think, well, I don't. Well, the But maybe you don't. And the answer to that is, well, God likes me a whole lot more than he likes you. It was a joke. But I do. I do hear God because I expect to hear God. I think that's a roadblock that we have to get over. The fact is that we're involved in a two-way conversation with God. Hearing God's voice is not for the super saint. Hearing God's voice is normal discipleship. It's normal for us to hear from God. It's normal. I want you to do an exercise this next week. I want you to go through the book of Acts. And I want you to see the book of Acts as this dynamic, personal relationship. This dynamic, spoken relationship. If you look in Acts chapter 8, you'll find a story of a man named Philip who gets told by the Holy Spirit to go and to talk to somebody. And then when he gets there, he gets directed by an angel, or an angel actually tells him to go to this certain road. And then the Holy Spirit tells him what to say. And the gospel then goes to Europe, or to Africa. In Acts chapter 9, we have I believe that's Cornelius, and we have an example of him getting a word from the Lord, and he says, go talk to Peter, who's up on the roof having a vision, and his life is forever changed. Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 16, no matter where you go in the book of Acts, you will find people who are being directed, who are being spoken to, who are being given a word from the Lord, who are hearing God, and he's directing their life. And so what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves this question. As you go through the book of Acts, is it a list of examples, or is it a book of exceptions? Because over and over and over again, in the book of Acts, we have all of these people hearing the word of the Lord. Now, one of the things that I'm going to deal with a roadblock or an obstacle right off the bat is that I believe with all of my heart that what we hold in our hands, that this is completely 100%. The inspired word of God. There's no doubt in my mind that the pages of the Bible possess completely. This is completely the word of God. But I also know that the Bible tells me this isn't the complete word of God. There's many ways that God speaks to us. And I want you to know, I have an 8.5 year track record at this church preaching the Bible. And I'm not going to change that. But I'm telling you that God speaks to us in other ways other than just this. And this tells us that. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about, and that's what I'm doing today, is setting the foundation for hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of God, directing us so that we can take what we learn here and serve more out there. Because it is a personal, it's a dynamic relationship. If this were all that God used to communicate with us, why would we need His Holy Spirit? Why would we need any other means of communication? Why would we have any other way of hearing God? I want to show a picture up on the screen here, and I'm going to ask just the 18 and under crowd to name, see if you can name this person. Who's that? Oh, somebody was paying attention. I didn't think anybody would get that. And I was going to ask the over 18. So that's Amelia Earhart, who was, transatlantic, round the world flight, died tragically on July 2nd, 1937. And one of her last transmissions, as she was approaching where she was going to land this very close to the last leg of her adventure, as she's flying the end of this more than 2,000-mile leg of this journey, the last transmission that they heard was, "We must be on you, but we can't see you. Gas is running low. We've been unable to reach you by radio. We're flying at 1,000 feet." And that was it. And there were some controversial, garbled up messages that may or may not have been from them. That was the last known transmission. What happened to that plane that ultimately doomed the equipment and Amelia and her navigator was that when they were taking off on this bumpy, dirt, unfinished runway in New Guinea, the radio antenna that was used to receive messages fell off. And what she could do was that she could send messages, but she couldn't get any. She could talk, but she couldn't hear. And she couldn't get any personal, unique direction for her experience and her circumstances right at the moment. And it had a tragic result. And the problem is that if we don't hear from God, what we see in the church is that same tragic result. It is a short-sighted, misguided relationship with Him. Now, I have a couple other pictures I want to show you. Now, this might be familiar to some, less familiar to others. Have you ever seen watching a football game, especially the pros, the quarterback getting away from everyone else, putting his hands over the ear holes in his helmet, and he's not saying, "Oh, I've got a headache." What the quarterback is trying to do is close up those ear holes to drown out all of the other ambient noise that's going on so that he can get a specific message from someone who has a better advantage, a better viewpoint than he does, because inside those helmets, and the quarterback's the only one who's got it on the offense, inside those helmets there's a little transmitter, little receiver, and there's an offensive coordinator or somebody up in this box overlooking the field. And he can see what's going on. He can see what the tendencies of the defense, and he can see the mistakes that are being made and the possibilities that are there. And so what this person does is that he gives this special instruction, this special communication, this personal message to this guy, and he says, "Now, this is what you do in this situation. This is how this works." And he's got a better view of the overall field. And so what the quarterback's trying to do is get away from everything else so that he can hear the one thing that he needs to most hear at that moment. And I'm afraid that in our lives that there's so much ambient noise that we couldn't hear God's voice for all the other voices in our head. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to get away from everything, to hear the voice of God. We're going to talk about what it looks like to seek out the different ways, the biblical ways that God says, "This is how I speak to you personally." We're going to look at the different ways that God has equipped His saints to not only need, but to thrive in a dynamic, personal, spoken relationship with the God of heaven and earth. Now, I'm not going to challenge I'm not going to challenge what the Bible says. I might challenge your interpretation of what the Bible says. But I promise you that what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks about hearing God, it's going to be straight from the words of His book that He gave us so that He would better be able to reveal Himself to us in this personal, dynamic relationship that we are all in. So I want to encourage you that over the next few weeks, don't just check out and say, well, you know, that's... Come back. Let's study. Let's reason together. Let's study the Word together as we are trying to be equipped to hear the voice of God. I hope that we've laid a little bit of a foundation of the reality of this is what God, this is His expectation, not of us, but His expectation for us. And there are so many circumstances and so many experiences that we have that God is desperately trying to communicate how to act, how to deal, how to be, how to process if we could only hear Him. Now Hayden's going to come up and he's going to lead us an invitation song. And it is Nearer, Still Nearer. Excellent choice, by the way. My prayer is that we would not only sing about being nearer to God. My prayer is that we wouldn't simply make a statement and say that I want to hear the voice of God, but that we would actively set our lives up so that hearing God is normal. Before Hayden comes to lead us in our invitation song, if you would please stand with me as we pray. Father, we stand before You this morning in need of Your voice. Father, I pray that You would speak a word of encouragement to each one of us. Father, that You would speak a word of joy, of peace, that You would speak a word of direction. God, I pray that as we study hearing Your voice, that we would believe what You have written, that we would believe what You have provided, and that we would listen. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen.